This is the Public News Service Daily Newscast Afternoon Update for Monday, September 30th, 2024. I'm Mike Moen. Desperate residents isolated by washed-out roads and the lack of power and cellular service in western North Carolina lined up for fresh water Monday, days after Hurricane Helene ripped through the southeastern U.S. and killed more than 100 people. The Associated Press reports government officials and aid groups were working to bring basic supplies by airlift and truck to the hard-hit tourism hub of Asheville and surrounding mountain towns. At least 120 people in six states were killed as the death toll climbed Monday and a clear picture emerged of the devastation stretching from Florida's Gulf Coast to the Appalachian Mountains in Virginia. Asheville's water system was severely damaged, forcing residents to carry buckets to a creek to get water. Officials warn that rebuilding from the widespread loss of homes and property would be lengthy and difficult. Scientists are noting the link between climate change and the growing intensity of weather-related disasters such as Hurricane Helene. A new report published the names of wealthy donors fueling disinformation on climate change. Eric Galatis has more.
As Coloradans deal with record-breaking heat, wildfires, and prolonged drought linked to a changing climate, a new report shows how American taxpayers are subsidizing disinformation about climate change. Co-author Chuck Collins is with the Climate Accountability Research Project. He says people with ties to the fossil fuel industry are bankrolling groups trying to block action on climate change through tax-deductible donations.
There's 137 organizations that are actively involved in promoting climate disinformation, sowing doubt. Their goal is to run out the clock and keep extracting their profits.
Between 2020 and 2022, people gave these organizations nearly $6 billion in tax-deductible donations, which are entirely legal under the U.S. tax code. The U.S. Supreme Court has also ruled that financial contributions deserve the same First Amendment protections as speech, at least in political campaigns. I'm Eric Galatis.
A new study finds Maine households are a leading contributor of food waste in local landfills, which in turn contributes to climate change. Researchers say as the waste breaks down, it produces methane, a potent greenhouse gas. Suzanne Lee with the Senator George J. Mitchell Center for Sustainability Science at the University of Maine says reducing food waste is one of the easiest ways to solve the problem.
Not everybody can get a new electric vehicle, but everybody can shop more wisely. Do meal planning.
Lee says new data on where and how food waste is generated will be added to the state's climate plan. She says it could help in building the needed infrastructure to transport, store, and distribute excess food from farms and businesses. About 1 in 8 state residents experienced food insecurity in 2022. This is Public News Service. The two astronauts stuck at the International Space Station since June welcomed their new ride home with Sunday's arrival of a SpaceX capsule. SpaceX launched the rescue mission over the weekend with a downsized crew of two astronauts and two empty seats reserved for Butch Wilmore and Suni Williams, who will return next year. NASA switched Wilmore and Williams to SpaceX following concerns over the safety of their Boeing Starliner capsule. It was the first Starliner test flight with a crew, and NASA decided the thruster failures and helium leaks that cropped up after liftoff were too serious and poorly understood to risk the test pilot's return. In other news, U.S. mail carriers will rally across the country tomorrow to bring attention to their working conditions. As Eric Tegetoff reports, an Idaho postal worker helped start the event.
Sherry Butler with the United States Postal Service is a member of her local postal workers union based in Spokane. She lives and works in Coeur d'Alene. She spoke out about understaffing at a USPS Board of Governors meeting last year. Then the board limited public comments at its hearings to once a year. Then she started a letter writing campaign, which has since turned into two rallies.
It just kind of grew as more people became interested. The small idea of a letter writing campaign turned into a larger movement called We Won't Be Silenced. With this movement, we are ending the silence and sharing why our stories need to be told.
Members of the American Postal Workers Union National Convention in July then passed her resolution for a rally. Rallies are scheduled across Idaho, including in Boise, Caldwell, and Idaho Falls. Workers will call for more public comment opportunities at Board of Governors meetings, better staffing and services, and more cooperation from management at the bargaining table.
Turning to the 2024 election, the Coalition of Justice and Equality Across Movements is sponsoring the HBCU Liberation Tour at historically black colleges across the South to engage students in the political system. The goal is to register black college students to vote and have their voices heard. Destiny Pearson is a program coordinator for the group. She says too many young people are disengaged from the political process.
That's so concerning because about 50% of Gen Z are people of color. So we really want to make sure that we're engaging these young Black students to understand the importance of this election and to be more engaged in the political system.
The tour stops at Fisk College in Nashville tomorrow. It has already visited Howard University and Clark Atlanta University and plans future stops at Jackson State, North Carolina A&T, and Florida A&M. An NBC News poll shows that as of September 4th, Democratic nominee Kamala Harris was leading Republican Donald Trump by a 50-32% margin among 18-29-year-olds in seven battleground states. And finally, already the longest-lived of the 45 men to serve as U.S. president, Jimmy Carter is about to reach the century mark. The 39th president, who remains under home hospice care, will turn 100 tomorrow. This is Mike Moen for Public News Service, member and listener supported.